When's the last time maybe you've been walking out in the garden in despair, maybe in tears? And then all of a sudden, you feel the Lord with you. And maybe everything doesn't go away, but it certainly is better knowing you're not alone. We're going to finish up John chapter 11 today. It's been a long chapter, 57 verses. I think we've cut it up into about four parts, four segments. Probably the greatest physical miracle, if there is a greatest miracle that can be had, that Jesus, I don't like the word performed, but and we would think that after this miracle, there would be no problems. Filling the tents and filling the synagogues and churches, filling anything that had to do with Jesus. As surely everyone should have seen that he was God. We saw the humanity of Christ as he shed tears for his friend Lazarus. We saw the power of Christ as he cried out, "Lazarus, come forth." And he did. Verse 45 and 46, "Therefore many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them the things which Jesus had done." I think the wording here might be a little bit because we read the word many in verse 45, and we read the word some in verse 46. And from the actions of the people, I think the many might be few and the some might be many. Because they were still, for the most part, dead spiritually. Let's see what the sum did. Verse 47. "Therefore the chief priests and the Pharisees convened a council and were saying, 'What are we doing? For this man is performing many signs.'" For the last year or so, or better, the overarching thought amongst the leaders of Israel was to get rid of this man. He's causing harm to the people. He is turning their eyes from the truth, and their loyalties away from us, their leaders. And in their minds, they have been very kind to Jesus. They've allowed him, for the most part, to travel freely. He has preached in their synagogues. He has taught. He's done miracles that they attribute to Beelzebub or Satan. I mean, even this last miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead. In their eyes, it was not a miracle. It was just happenstance. Oh, Lazarus must not have really been dead. He was just unconscious or in a coma. Something like that. So what are we doing? For this man is performing many signs. Verse 48. If we let him go on like this, all men will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. Why did Jesus come? He came to save. John was written that all men might believe. Okay? If we let him go on like this, all men will believe in him. That was the purpose. That was what God wanted. What is so bad about people believing in Jesus? Well, the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. They were more afraid of what man would do than what God would do. They were more afraid of losing their place, their power, their notoriety, their nation, than they were of listening to the Son of God with all the proof that he had behind him. And we have people like that today. More worried about the world than about what God wants. More worried about their reputation amongst those outside than their reputation amongst God the Father. Sadly, I fall into that category sometimes. I mean, I'm a couple times this week, and sadly it's only a couple. A couple times this week I was reminded of last Sunday. Hi, who are you? Oh, I drive around all day. I do this. I even as far as sometimes, well, I pastor a small church down in Dover. I'm a child of the King. That should be my words. I don't know. I might scare somebody with that, though. They might think I'm kind of freaky. I am kind of freaky. I know. But I was shown yesterday that even in all my freakiness, I am loved. And that I thank you guys for. But aren't we afraid of what the world thinks most of the time? I mean, even me saying, well, I'm a pastor.
pastor down in Dover.
That sometimes isn't always an acknowledgement to Christ. Sometimes that's kind of a,
look at what I sacrifice.
If all men will believe in him, the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. Now understand, and we've said this before time after time here in John, and we kind of mentioned it in Sunday school, some of the false teachers that are out there today within Christianity, in their minds, they mean well. These Jews meant well. They thought they were doing everything that they were supposed to be doing for the kingdom. But when God himself stood in front of them and said they were wrong, they couldn't hear him. They were blind to the truth. So Caiaphas, who was chief priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all. Nor do you take into account that it is expedient for you that one man die for the people and that the whole nation not perish. Never have greater words of prophecy been said." Caiaphas, he was saying this in regards to, we need to get rid of him. The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. So it's better to get rid of Jesus so that Judaism can flourish, so that our power can stay intact, and so that the Romans leave us alone. But notice in reality that it's expedient for you that one man die for the people so the whole nation will not perish. Is that not what Christ accomplished? He died for the world. So that the whole world may not die. I mean, Caiaphas didn't know how smart he actually was by saying these. Verse 51, "Now he did not say this on his own initiative, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus was going to die for the nation. And not only for the nation, but in order that he might also gather together, one, the children of God who are scattered abroad." I mean, his motives were correct. If we kill Jesus, we save the nation. The right means, but the wrong end. Jesus did have to die. That was pre-planned from eternity past. Caiaphas played a role in his death. And verse 53 tells us, from that day on, they planned together to kill him. Again, they've wanted to kill him all along, but now a concerted effort was being made. I think before this, it was just kind of like, well, if we catch him out someplace and, you know, the people aren't there, because they were scared of the people. We've seen that time and time again. If the circumstances are just right, we'll get rid of them. Now they were actively working to make the circumstances right. And again, this was just right after Jesus brought a dead guy to life. 4 days in the tomb. I mean, these religious leaders, they knew the Old Testament. They knew how the Messiah was supposed to come. And if they would have just connected the dots, they would have saw Christ for who he was. But they didn't. Verse 54, therefore Jesus no longer continued to walk publicly among the Jews, but went away from there to the country near the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there he stayed with his disciples. Now again, we're within probably weeks, maybe even sooner than that, of Christ's crucifixion. When was Christ going to die? When the time was right. How was death going to happen? When he gave up his life. So Jesus removes himself and he has some precious time to spend with his disciples. Now the Passover of the Jews was near, and many went up to Jerusalem out of the country before the Passover to purify themselves. Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper was done when? At the Passover feast. So what the time frame is between verse 54 and verse 55, I don't know. Days? Weeks? But now the Passover of the Jews was near. Jews would pilgrimage to Jerusalem for this Passover. They would come early in order to purify themselves, to wash the outsides, but not having no effect on the insides. And as they were there, they were seeking Jesus. I mean, Jesus was a commodity. I mean, he was like a modern day Bucky's. People were looking for him. For those of you who don't know what Bucky's is, you haven't lived. But what was Jesus going to do? I mean, they knew that the Jews were out to get him. I mean, verse 57, chief priests and Pharisees had given order that everyone, if anyone knew where he was, they were to report it. I mean, I don't know if they had wanted posters back at in this day. If they did, they'd have been stapled every tree, every building, everything. Where's Jesus? How's he going to get out of this? What's he going to do? My tooth hurts. Maybe he can heal it. I'm hungry. Maybe he can feed me. So they were seeking, verse 56, for Jesus. And were saying to one another as they stood in the temple, what do you think? Will he not come to the feast at all? I mean, what was the thought of the people? Is he going to cower out of this Passover feast? I mean, he's made an appearance at every other feast that we've had. But he's really in danger now. What they didn't know is Jesus feared no man. Jesus feared no group of men. Jesus feared no council of men. For Jesus was God over all. Again, it's just kind of sad that this was the response of the religious elite. This was the response of the leadership of Israel, God's chosen people. That they, who thought they knew the word, did not see the word standing in front of them. We can kind of go back to chapter 2, I believe, at the end, where after the miracle at the wedding at Canaan, the Bible says Jesus, knowing their hearts, did not behold himself to them. Where are we? I mean, I don't think there was a better song for us to sing this morning. But all my hope is in Jesus. I mean, the scribes and Pharisees, their hope was not in Jesus. Their hope was not in God. Their hope was in themselves. And then them keeping the status quo of what they had. Their power. Or what they saw was power. Because they had this big old stone called Rome hanging over their head. They didn't realize that Jesus, he was larger than Rome. He was more powerful than Caesar. Caesar never healed the eyes of someone born blind. Caesar never raised a man from the dead. Caesar never fed 5,000 people with a Lunchable. If they were putting all their hope in their system and kind of keeping themselves in the shadows of Rome, what about us? Where's our hope? All my hope is in Biden. All my hope is in Trump. I hope not. All my hope is in Jesus. He is the miracle worker. He is the Word. Next week, we'll start chapter 12. We're near the end. His human life is going to end. His disciples, they're oblivious. And towards the end of the book, Friday comes. But Sunday's right around the corner. Father, we thank you that it's you that we have our hope in. Nothing of this world can give us hope. Father, not in a political basis, not, Lord, nothing of a religious works basis. Father, only you can save. And we thank you, Lord, that our hope is in you. Lord, continue to grow us individually to be more like you. Continue to grow us spiritually as a flock of God, to work with one another unto the needs of the kingdom. And Father, continue to purify our hearts. Make us more like you. For it's in your name we pray.